Monster Man, Episode 98, Flind to Flumph.
So I bet you with the Monster Man, it was a bad plan.
Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In this season of Monster Man, I'm reading my way through the Fiend Folio, the 1981 monster supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Now, you may not have noticed, but at the beginning of the episode there, that wasn't the recording that I normally use of the theme song. That's because I'm on holiday, and that means that I don't have access to my computer or any of the editing that I would normally do. So this episode's probably going to have the sound quality's not maybe going to be as good, and it's going to have a little more hesitation and repetition than I normally try to include. Lots more of me taking breaths, lots more of me saying, sorry, but that's just how it's got to be. Despite that, we're still going to talk about two monsters from the Fiend Folio. Now, I know that in the last episode, I said I was going to do the Flind, the Flumph, the Forlaren, and the Frostman, but I've decided to split those up over two episodes because I think it's really the only way to make this kind of vacation mode work. Let's begin by talking about the Flind. Now, the Flind was created by J.D. Morris, and I was talking to my wife, Allison, about the Flind and the Flumph, and she had never heard of the Flumph, but she had heard of the Flind. And I think if you live within the space of people who care a lot about old D&D monsters, you might find that surprising, because the Flumph kind of has this legendary status, which the Flind really doesn't. But the reason that Alice knew what a Flind was is that they're in the Baldur's Gate series of video games. Or they're in Baldur's, the first one anyway. And that makes sense because the role that the Flind plays is very kind of video gamey. I recently got one of those NES minis, you know, that comes with a bunch of games already on it, and I've been playing the original Final Fantasy, and the Flind is a monster that would fit in very well in Final Fantasy. That is to say that it's basically a buff palette-swapped gnoll. So the Flind is explicitly like a gnoll, but a bit tougher, and they act as leaders to groups of gnolls. Oh, and also they have nunchucks, which makes them extra cool, I think, particularly in 1981. So the Flind fulfills a useful role. It's a sort of differentiable leader character for a group of gnolls, but there isn't anything about it that's terribly inspiring, right? If you like gnolls, you probably like Flinds. If you don't like gnolls, you don't like Flinds. I like gnolls a lot, but I do think that gnolls as written are a bit better than Flinds, if only because they have a better name. The interesting thing about the Flind entry is that it says that a gnoll perceives a Flind's charisma as being higher, which is to say, I guess, that the Flind gets some kind of reaction bonus when interacting with gnolls, but it does sort of raise the question of what charisma is. After all, isn't charisma something that is largely in the eye of the beholder? Not a literal beholder in this case, but some gnolls. That is to say, you know, can't we in fact say this for a whole wide range of different creatures, that obviously their charisma is perceived differently among different groups? Like, you could be a very charming bullywug, but humans still aren't going to care that much about you because you are a bullywug. So by trying to make Flinds especially charismatic and especially good leaders toward gnolls, this section sort of raises more questions than it answers. I don't know if there's a specific origin for the Flind. I don't think so. I'm not aware of one. But I also don't know who looked at gnolls and thought, you know what those guys need is a slightly shorter but slightly stronger monster to be their leader, and otherwise they can just be the same. Well, J.D. Morris, I guess, is the answer to that question. Anyway, the Flind is fine. I do feel that it could effectively be, like, derived from the gnoll entry or even combined into the gnoll entry without really having to do all that much extra work. But you know that I like gnolls, and so I'm perfectly okay with Flinds as well. Then we come to a recognizable and possibly controversial monster, the Flumph, created by Ian McDowell and Douglas Naismith. Now, the Flumph is basically a kind of jellyfish skunk. It's just a floating, intelligent jellyfish, and if you threaten it, it can squirt you with something that makes you smell bad so that your party members avoid you. And then if you really mess with it, it can kind of bite you, and it has some acids that it gets in there. It is notable primarily for being the only lawful good creature in the entire Fiend Folio, or at least that's something that I've often heard quoted. I didn't check. And because they look a bit silly, they sort of look like the flying spaghetti monster. Because they look a bit silly, flumphs have been used in a lot of, like, humorous-type scenarios and included on lists of humorous D&D monsters. But here's the thing. Flumphs aren't particularly funny. The problem with flumphs is that they aren't particularly anything. They have this absurd design, this kind of flying jellyfish. But again, there's nothing necessarily that ridiculous about it. It's no more ridiculous than any of the other kind of floating animal monsters that this game has in it, right? But they're lawful good, and they're of average intelligence, and we have no other information about their society, or their goals, or their attitudes, other than that they seem to be kind of harmless. So, other than being a floating jellyfish, skunk, poison guy, a flumph is basically just a person. Fundamentally, it's just a human being. So it's as if you were wandering through the dungeon and you just found, like, an accountant hanging out there. There's nothing specifically interesting about a more or less law-abiding, more or less benevolent creature of average intelligence just sort of hanging out. You kind of have to make up the entire flumph yourself, because it doesn't have an inherent agenda. You're probably not going to fight it because it's basically well-intentioned. There's no reason to fight it other than that, right? It doesn't have anything you really want. I mean, I guess it has treasure, I suppose, much the same as anybody has treasure. But it just, there's not much point to having a flumph other than in kind of like that gonzo Dungeons & Dragons world where, like, oh, well, the innkeeper's a dragonborn and the blacksmith's a drow and whatever, and that I think you could stick a flumph into, but even then probably not more than one. So it's not that there's anything wrong with the flumph per se, it's more that other than its ridiculous appearance, there's not anything with the flumph, it's just a person. So what are we going to do with the flumph? Well, first off, I think the flumph's description suggests that it's a creature that's primarily concerned about defense, right? So it has the smell spray thing, right? Well, that's like a skunk, and skunks do that when they're startled. They're not out there to go, they're not interested in spraying people. It's just that when something like a predator gets near, then the skunk sprays it, and it mistakes things for predators. Can we imagine that the flumph, which is a pretty harmless creature despite its, you know, despite its acid bite thingy, that the flumph is quite sort of paranoid and, or not paranoid, but like jumpy and easily startled, right? It's a prey creature, and so it will tend to respond by, you know, squirting at things. And perhaps we can extrapolate from the fact that flumphs are a little bit defensive like that to suggest that things are really out to get them. So a flumph might be something that you have to keep safe, right? And so it would be a sort of like an escort quest creature. And that would allow us to include the fact that the flumph is, you know, a bit goofy and vulnerable, and turn that into a feature of the story. Where the fact that the flumph is, you know, basically harmless becomes relevant to the player characters because they have to protect this basically harmless creature rather than feeling like a bunch of thugs for fighting it and coming out smelling bad. Alternatively, we know that there's no real reason for all creatures of the same race to have the same alignment, right? Just because flumps are typically lawful good, there's no reason that you couldn't have one that was lawful neutral or even lawful evil. The flump, we could have a flump villain, although, again, you run the risk of sort of absurdity, right? Because flumps are a bit silly in terms of their appearance and name. And so you can set that up as a contrast, but it's not a well that you want to go to too many times. I think the flump's outward silliness basically lends itself to a setup in which you meet this creature and it seems silly and, you know, weak and ridiculous, and it turns out to be, you know, basically a decent sort and to have some agenda that it needs your help with, or simply to be protected from whatever other bad things live in this dungeon. And so then you can start off with the flumph being goofy, and then lead into a more serious plotline relating to it. I don't think it necessarily provides a lot just as a goofy monster, because it's not actually all that goofy. And you can't really play it for laughs. Or rather, to play it for laughs, you would have to make up just as much stuff as you have to make up if you wanted to play it straight. So that's how I feel about the Flumph. I think it neither... I mean, I have affection for it largely because it gets a bad rap. It certainly doesn't deserve its bad rap. But to be 100% honest, it doesn't necessarily deserve all that affection either. It's got potential, but it seems like they gave it a silly name, a silly description, and a fight gimmick, and then sort of stopped. I'd be very interested to see the context in which the Flumph was originally used in Ian McDowell and Douglas Naismith's game, because I'm guessing there's a little bit more than we're not seeing here, and I suspect that it's one of the things that I discussed talking about the Flumph. So I'm sorry if you were expecting, goofy hilarity in the Flumph episode. It would seem more in keeping with how the Flumph has subsequently been handled in Dungeons & Dragons, but the funny Flumph feels like an in-joke, right? Just like, oh, well, Flumphs are silly, therefore, we'll put them into goofy scenarios. But D&D humor scenarios have very seldom worked for me. I feel like there's something to be done with the Flumph, especially in an Alien World type environment, where you really want to make the point that, oh yes, this looks like a scary monster, but it's actually quite a reasonable person. So yeah, see, that worked out to be a reasonable length. I think if I'd gone into too much detail about the Forlorn or the Frostman, we wouldn't have been able to fit it in. So that's what we're going to be dealing with next time. The Forlorn and the Frostman on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening, and thank you for putting up with the slightly wacky audio quality while I'm here on holiday. Normal service will be resumed shortly. Thanks again.